read nouns or verbs, and they take that as the whole word. They don't analyze what subject was connected with this. And they automatically feel the Christian's about got to be, let's just tell it like it is, a wimp before the whole world. And that certainly is not what the word says. You are to be kind and humble to those that will allow you, to a neighbor that allows, certainly, that is deserving. But most of all, the very fact a Christian is supposed to be humble before God. That's the meaning. Then, not to judge, but to discern where that meekness is to be displayed, and where, on the other hand, we are to confront our enemies. So, many people misinterpret Christians from the aspect of the fact that many people, unfortunately, so-called teachers that fail to teach God's Word to bring forth the full emotion of our Father, and that He would have us do, experience, and practice, whereby you are a Christian that's got a little bit of salt, meaning when you go somewhere, it's going to be a little more flavorful than it was when you arrived, because you have Christ within you. And that always is an upper for those that choose to follow Him. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to take a lesson from that in meekness, gentleness, and how to practice being humble. 2 is one thing of a certainty. If you do not do it God's way, people of the world will certainly take advantage of you. So you must do it God's way to set the proper example in your Christian walk and life that He instructs you to. And therefore, with dignity, fulfilling and serving Him in the way that He would instruct you, not the way men would instruct you. How do you check men out? By the Word of God. If the Word doesn't say it, men are misleading you or attempting to. I don't know, how easily can you be misled? I hope not at all, because you always use God's Word as your governor and as your material, as the Word, that is to say the living Word, that grants you license and obedience to serve Almighty God. 2 Corinthians, writings of Paul, verse 1 of chapter 10. Now, I, Paul, myself, I want to do this on my own, he's saying, beseech you, I pray to you, by the meekness or the humility and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base, and this word is humble, base meaning humble before you, among you, but being absent and bold toward you. In other words, when I hear of things going wrong there, such as backbiting, riling, strife, and so forth, I'm going to come down on your case, even if it is by letter. Right? What he's saying here, in a sense, is let me be and practice with the meekness that Christ does. Don't challenge me with your sin and the fact that I have to come down on you to straighten out your case. Let me serve, rather, in meekness, not only by letter, but when I'm present with you. He's beseeching, in a sense, he's praying to them that they obey God, and he will continue. And within this, you will find one of the best rules in your own life of serving God, and the mindset, perhaps, that you should have toward our Father, toward your brethren, and toward your enemy. Okay. Verse 2, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. In other words, as if our teachings were false. Paul, of course, started the church here among the Corinthians. And he had a right to teach them as he would even his own spiritual, spiritual children. And there had been some that said, well, he writes a mean letter, but when he's present, he's a wimp. Well, now, it wouldn't be smart to say that of Paul, okay, for anyone. However, it was being voiced. So there comes a time that you must practice boldness in both cases, but only when it is deserved, letting God's word be the unit used for your decipherment in your spiritual discernment as to how you react to people and to your Father and to his Son. What Paul has said here, unfortunately, he says, there's some around in and among you that say I'm a false teacher. And he didn't like that necessarily. So this is why he sets forth the rules which follow. 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we're just ordinary men, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons are the weapons that are utilized to fight against powers and principalities in dark places. That is to say, that is satanic, that is demonic, that will take over your life if you allow it. He said, that's why we're very bold. Why? Because what power do you utilize? You certainly, as an ordinary person, do not have power to walk against Satan. You've got to have Christ within you, and you have to ask in the name of Christ that anything evil or demonic is moved away from you, or Satan will laugh at you. Satan will tell jokes while he abuses you if you don't know how to use the power in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You're mincemeat to Satan. And that's kind of what Paul is saying here. Our weaponry is sharp, it is sure, and it severely punishes those even whom Satan would utilize to come against the church. And so it is. Father has always stated, touch not mine anointed, and he meant it. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through what? Through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's to say, the devil has no stronghold in your life. That if you will search the scriptures for edification, meaning to tell you which way to travel, which act to follow, that you can't make mincemeat out of him rather than he, Satan, making mincemeat out of you. Choice is yours. If you enjoy being chewed on and spit out by the enemy, have to it. But there comes a time, should we say you should be meek towards Satan? I pray you would never have a thought like that enter your mind. He would have you in his pocket if that were the case. You must be bold and strong in the name of Almighty God and that Son against anything negative, and handle it with dignity and put it in its place. Well, what place is that? Well, you should know where Satan's place is. Put him back there. That's where he belongs. And in a Christian family, don't tolerate it. If he can ever get you fighting among yourselves, guess where he is? He's standing over in the corner, say, attaway, give it to him. Attaway, tell her off, buddy. Oh, I love it, love it, love it, he will say, and he's laughing and applauding while you're hurting. Why will people tolerate that? And you know, what really gets me is, it's been quite a few years since I've done counseling, but I can remember families coming together and even splitting up over how one opened the toothpaste, or another how one opened a package of wieners. You know, that's heavy stuff, isn't it? You know in your own mind that Satan had to be involved in that. In other words, there was a lot more to it, meaning they were flat out incompatible because they had allowed Satan to grow strong between them. Don't ever, ever listen to the malarkey of you must be so meek you can never raise your voice, that you can never use the weapons of war because you'd be Christian. That's a lie. Christians are mighty warriors for God. When are you going to practice it? Perhaps it sounds at times, as an old Marine, I go overboard in defense and attack. But beloved, unfortunately, the reason I have to let that pendulum swing a little wider is because of the others that say, just as I am, without a ploy. In other words, just a piece of milk toast soaked in milk and ready to mellow in Satan's lap. That's what ultimately will happen if you take meekness out of context and know only meekness to family, brethren, and understand what the word brethren means. Check it out in your Strong's Concordance in both the Greek and the Hebrew so that you know who your brother is, as well as family. And then check out 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 to find out how you treat a disorderly family member. You've got to follow God's word. And it's God's word that when you follow it, he's going to bless, and that old hole in your tube is going to be patched over and you're going to be pumped back up and rolling good. I hope you like my analogy. Well, we that are middle-aged, I just spoke, sometimes we don't like for people to talk about spare tires or tubes, you know, whatever. Be that as it may. But it's up to you then, you see, in many cases, to defend yourself and your family. And sometimes you would say, ha ha, one person can't make a difference. It's not one person, it's you and God, your Father, and the Son, as well as the Holy Spirit, that will take Satan, and as the little children were saying, I hope you all are students enough to know what boxwood is. It's the Hebrew word is teasher, which means it's fake cedar. And that's what Satan is called in the Hebrew tongue in Ezekiel, 31 and 2. And I thought they did quite well with that number, very well. So what they were doing was kicking Satan, the fake cedar, out. He likes to play Jesus, but he's a fraud. I don't know, does he get away with it with you? And this wasn't planned today about the song and this message, except by Almighty God. He has a way of kind of bringing things together, because this message is kind of kick the boxwood out of your life. Don't put up with it. Be gentle and be meek when you can afford to be. That means when God would order you to be. But when he wants a little salt out of you, be able to produce, to stand for something. Otherwise, you would be the opposite of what he would describe John the Baptist, just a reed shaken in the wind. In other words, you'll blow any way somebody pushes you. That's kind of sad. That's really a sad person that can't bow up occasionally for our Father and make a difference. That's what he expects. Not everybody would have ears to hear what I'm saying this morning. They might even resent it. But listen carefully to God's word, and let God's word fortify and back up what we have stated in describing this particular chapter. And we go to verse 5. Casting down. Does it say casting down meekly? No, it says casting down imaginations. Translate that reasonings if you want to, the reasoning of some fake. The reasoning of some people you've heard that go off into space because they're spaced out. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against what? Listen, it's important. Against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, did it say be meek to those things that would be disobedient to Christ? I think not. It said throw it down. Get rid of it. Boot it out. Casting down takes action on your part. I hope everybody can see that. Well, maybe tomorrow, maybe next time I'll say something. Oh, poor you. Just make sure it is next time. Verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, I don't know, how is your obedience? Is it fulfilled? Have you studied pretty well? Have you edified your life and taught your family? Think about it. Then you're armed. You're trained. And you're ready to stand on the Word of God and to be successful. Because how can I say you're successful? It wasn't used there. Because God blesses those that obey Him. That's just, you can take that for granted, for He shall. He blesses those that bless Him. Now, did it say anything in there about being meek towards those that are disobedient? No, it said take revenge. But comes a time you have to kind of sort things out in your mind. And not get swallowed up in mellow, backstroking, sugar-sweet Christianity that misses the mark and allows Satan to slip on the sugar right into your family life. It can happen. And I'm not knocking anyone's kindness or a person being a gentle person. I'm saying when Satan attacks you, you kick back spiritually. And you should, if you're a Christian, be armed with the weaponry to do it with. Revenge on those that are disobedient by ordering that in the power and the name of Christ out of your family and out of your life. 7. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? Well, he looks like a holy Joe to me. As a matter of fact, I've never seen anybody that looks any more like a holy Joe than he does because he has all the right moves. Do you look into his heart? Are you able to discern? If you're a student of God's Word, you can. You know, sometimes that a so-called holy Joe, which I'm not one, I guess, I don't know if that's fortunate or unfortunate, but I seem to always fall a little bit short somewhere along the way. That's why you never want to follow man, you want to follow God. That's what God orders, okay? But outward appearance means absolutely zippo, nada. Now, naturally, we're not talking about dress with dignity and so forth if you're representing Christ and the Father. But I don't care if you've got on holy blue jeans. And I don't mean Holy Joe blue jeans. I mean blue jeans with holes. H-O-L-E-S in them. Represent God with dignity, okay? Outward appearance means nothing. If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again. You concentrate on it. That as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. That is to say, we belong to Him. You can see the connection between you and Almighty God by the Christ you follow. That is to say, the Son of the living God. It can't help but show through from your heart, not what you wear and not what the outward appearance might appear to be. It's what's in your heart. For if you have Christ within you, it's going to show. Verse 8, for though I should boast somewhat more of an authority which the Lord has given us for edification. He gives us authority to run over people. No, the authority is for edification. Don't ever try to use his authority out of context. It won't work. He won't help you mess up necessarily. You seem to be pretty good at that yourself. We all do. And not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. In other words, what Paul is saying, I will never use this power and this authority to run over you, but to correct you and pull you up. That's real love, beloved. If you, being a Christian, see a brother that you can talk to, I said that you can talk to, some people you can't. You can talk, but they won't hear, and you're wasting breath. But one that you know will listen, and you allow them to just wade into the mire when you could perhaps have helped, then shame on you. Shame on you. For the Christ that is in you, inasmuch as you belong to Christ and claim to belong to Christ, then you should stand on his part at all times and in all situations when it is best. You have to think about it. There is a time for everything. There's a time to live, and there's a time to die, and there's a time for planting, there's a time for reaping. Discernment falls in those categories. And one that is well founded in the Word, that's part of the edification. To edify means to gain the knowledge and wisdom God has set forth in his Word for you to prosper and make stronger your walk after Christ, inasmuch as Christ walks in you. Okay? Verse 9. That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. Some say he did. Okay? That's why he's rebuking in this sense. He said, if you'll act a little more like Christ, I won't have to be so rough on you. Okay? Verse 10. For his letters, say they, he said, this is what the people are saying about Paul. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak. He's a little wimp. And his speech, contemptible. He's a poor preacher. I've heard better preachers than say about old Paul. Do you think this is making Paul happy? Not very much. There was contention in the church even at this time. I hope you're picking up on that. So if somebody gives you a hard time today, don't think it's anything new. For there's nothing new under the sun. If you're going to follow Christ, they belittled him. They will belittle you. But I guess, beloved, the best thing I can say to you is, what kind of stuff are you made out of? Are you a real Christian or are you a wimp? I don't know. And when I say a wimp, I mean be armed with the Word of God where you can cut someone to ribbons in a dignified way and show them where they are heir. Because you're a servant of the living God. It's that simple. That's why you have Bible study, to improve your life. It's no joke. It's not something you're bound to do once a week or twice a week. It's life. And you're supposed to live it if you want to be successful and if you want happy. People are going to talk against you at times. How thick-skinned are you? Always remember, God said, touch not mine anointed. He said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Don't sweat it. Do you love God enough to know that? Because he will. Okay. Verse 11. Let such and one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. We're the same whether we're there or away. Now, I want you to sharpen up for me real good, because the words that we're about to read from the scripture have a great meaning on your life, telling you who to listen to and how to discern. So sharpen up for me, if you will, please. Verse 12. For we dare, this word dare is the same word used in verse 2 for bold. We boldly dare not make ourselves of the number. We choose not to be like them. Okay. The number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. They commend who? They commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. They don't understand at all. Now, what has he said there? People that ever try to judge you by saying, well, what you're believing is wrong because you've heard by good brother so-and-so that wrote a paper on such-and-such, and so-and-so says you're wrong. Or have you read the paper written by good brother so-and-so preacher, this preacher, that preacher of this denomination or that denomination, that it's our church system and its way, that's wrong? It's not wise to judge yourself by men, or men to judge themselves by themselves. What is the answer? Judge yourself by the word of God and the word of God only, not man. Or you're headed for trouble, big trouble. Man sets a bunch of precedents. That's what's wrong with our law, our judicial system, even at this time, though it takes shortcuts in the precedent that is set forth rather than judging something if you are a judge for what it is. Because precedents can get wicked off or sometimes punish the innocent. Well, so it is with God's word, supposedly, by this good brother or that good brother, by this tradition or that tradition. Who cares about traditions that make void the word of God? Listen rather to Almighty God, and therefore the subject of this lecture, humble yourself before who? Men? No. Not unless they deserve it. But Almighty God. Why? Because we are as filthy rags compared to His goodness, His righteousness. So we can do nothing. And to humble yourself, the Greek is very specific. It means of mind. Okay, to humble yourself of mind before Almighty God. So, if you want to really get in trouble and do something unwise, go around being a men pleaser. Now, it's wonderful to get along. I hope you don't think I'm saying you shouldn't get along. You know, I can be wiser than the serpent and be friends to about anybody and still choose to disagree with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can walk through I'm not talking about within teaching, I'm talking about in the world. You're supposed to be wiser than the serpent. And you can always make hay when the sun shines, and Christ is your sunshine, so you should always make hay. If you are following Him, instead of the traditions of men, that men judging themselves by and with men will get you nowhere but in trouble. Respect God, or He will not release His power and His authority to you, and you will always have trouble. The choice is yours. It's your life. But there will never be a better example or wiser words written to show you to avoid. He uses the same word in the Greek as to boldly avoid them. Stay away from them. their imaginations, their way of thinking. Okay, verse 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. It is a measure that God himself made that will reach to you, will bless you, will show you the true way, and will always bring you out a winner, except in times of trial, and I want to see you shining like a new rose, even at those times, because you can cut it. Sometimes God likes to show the enemy that our people can operate with opposition. Doesn't hurt us. Our character will stand. He will defend it, and you yourself will defend it. You don't have to worry about it. So that's part of it. Don't be a poor me, baby, and the first time something negative is spoken or written against you, wilt. It's a time to be stronger in him, not self, in him. Okay, so what is it that you're supposed to align and measure by? God's word, not man's, not the sayings of some man. 14. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. This means, you know, travel was a little difficult, and you didn't hop a jet and you're there. It is a long ways from Jerusalem and where the place of the Hellenists to where the Corinthians live. And we didn't stretch ourselves, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. We were the first that came to you. Don't listen to these other knuckleheads. Listen to the word of God. Don't go by their measure. And quite frankly, what does it mean stretching ourselves? The thought is dropped there that if you are a true Christian, you will take it on from where you stand. It will spread. It will grow. You're going to plant seed. And it will be to the edification of the people and a blessing to Almighty God. I don't know, are you a Christian or not? Verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure. Remember, the word measure here is guide. Okay, what you use as your guide or rule. Okay, that is of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you. I said, by you, according to our rule abundantly. That means magnified in you. The Greek word is megala. Magnified over and over. The seed grows because Almighty God germinates that little germ that lies within the minds of people when truth is heard. Verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. You take it and run with it. The baton is passed. And not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. 17, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. If you're going to humble yourself, then humble yourself before Almighty God. Do not ever humble yourself before the enemy, unless it's a covert act on your part to cast him down. That's for you that have, if you do not understand that, put it on the shelf. Verse 17, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's the reason. That's the way. 18, for not he that commendeth himself is approved. Not somebody that judges by himself or other men is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. If the Lord doesn't commend you, if the Lord does not take you, you see, the word humble means to debase or make low. Okay, to commend means to raise up, just the opposite. And the Greek in this case, as I stated, is prootos, which is to It means gentleness, but the humble is tapino, which means to depress or even put down. Before God, you should do that mentally, okay? Kneel before Him mentally. Doesn't have to be your flesh knees won't cut it. If you feel better, do it. Nothing wrong with it. But you can talk to Him standing, whatever. But mentally, you humble yourself before Him, because it is He that raises you, that moves you to the higher place in life, that commends you or gives you accommodation in life. And it will shine because it is of God. So God doesn't necessarily like wimps, if you understand what I'm saying, spiritually speaking. He appreciates warriors, spiritual warriors that have on in place the gospel armor and that are just a little bit salty. Because what good are you if you have, being salt, have lost your savor? You're not fit to salt something because you don't leave any flavor there. It's just like something blah walks through the room when you lose your saltiness. So be salty. And how do you be salt? How do you become salty? God's Word. By being ready, able, willing, and a can-do servant of the living God. Let's go just a little bit further here, in as much as I see chapter 11, because this leads up to this, that you're to humble yourself before God and not using a measure of humbling yourself before men that are non-deserving. Paul says here, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." What Paul is saying, I'm going to bare my heart to you here for a moment, and I want you to really put your thinking cap on, and I want you to listen to my heart for a moment. This is very serious. "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy." I mean, he's got a bunch of would-be preachers running around stirring up and muddying the water. And he's saying, "I'm jealous, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." And of course, here he's looking forward to the appearance of the false Messiah. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled," that's 18:18 in your Strong's Concordance, "Ecclesio has only one meaning, and it's wholly seduce Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." In other words, you'd rather listen to the measures of men and Satan and muddy up the water, rather than listen to the simple truth of, let God be your judge, let God be your rule. Stay with Him, and you'll be blessed, you'll be wise, and you'll be a child that God can say, "Yes, I can use that one," and He shall. It's up to you, okay? He doesn't want Satan to impregnate you with lies and half-truths when he appears as the Spirit's Messiah, but you to remain a true bride of Christ, so that you're one of the virgins with a lamp full of oil, that light will withstand the blast of Satan. It means nothing to you, the blast of Satan. Verse 4, go one more verse. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached," that's to say another way even, for Christ is the way, "or if you receive another spirit which you have not received," and that's something you want to really take serious, because there's a lot of spirits in the world. There's only one Holy Spirit. I don't know, you like to listen to spirits? Hey, they'll take advantage of you if you let them. That's what we've been talking about in the prior chapter. "Or another gospel which ye have not accepted," you might well bear with him. It seems, Paul says, you seem to swallow it hook, line, and sinker, is what he's really saying. And he continues on, and he said, he identifies what he meant. And why he would bring up Eve and Satan, because he says, don't marvel, for Satan is going to be come, and the word in the English is disguised, but the Greek is disguised as an angel of light, like a savior himself. You're going to be deceived. Who do you humble yourself before? Not Satan, not the ways of the world, but Almighty God, praying as you humble yourself before him for knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Let's go in closing, if we may, to the book of James. Let's go to chapter 4 and verse 10 to complete this thought, taking from another teacher, James, brother of the Lord. James chapter 4 and verse 10, and it reads, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now think on that, and I pray that you don't think I'm talking down to you, but I want you to absorb that. Did it say humble yourself before Satan? No. Did it say humble yourself before men? No. It said humble yourself before the Lord, because if you humble yourself before the Lord, spiritual discernment is in your heart and mind, because Christ is, and you know who else you should humble yourself before through dignity, respect, love, and so forth. But first, don't you ever put anybody before God. Don't ever put anybody before the Lord, or you're headed for trouble. Unfortunately, you're to love less, not hate, but love less. Verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother. Now, do you know who your brother is? Never fail to analyze these thoughts. This didn't say your enemy. Okay. It said brother. Know what a brother is. Check it out in the Greek if you must. And judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Let me ask you a question. If you do that, who made you judge? You better think that one over real good. Why? Read the next verse. There is one, I repeat, O-N-E, one, uno, ichi. We rattle off a lot of languages here, okay. One, lawgiver, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgeth another? Now again, this does not mean to practice, this is not talking about practicing discernment through the edification of the Word of God. Let's talk about you just setting yourself up as a judge. You got a few people around this country that set themselves up as watchdogs, witch hunters of Salem, burn them at the stake. Okay. Wise in their own conceits. All right. And God didn't make them judges. That's how do you know? Because they lie. Servants of God do not lie. Okay, so that's pretty, you know, check the flavor, check the temperature of the water, just put your little toe in there, and if it's wrong, it's wrong, okay? So, you know then that if somebody is wrong, by using God's Word as your measure, not your own thoughts or reasonings, naturally you might say, well, separate those two for me. Well, your own thoughts and reasoning after you have studied God's Word gives you the mind of a Christian. And that makes a big difference, all right? Verse 13. Go to now, or come on now. Let me say it that way. Come on, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. In other words, somebody said, I'm starting a new business, all right, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to that town. I know this is foolproof, and I'm going to make it big. And that's fine. Now, I appreciate people that think and look ahead and everything, but if you do it that way, you leave something out. Who did you leave out? God. You want to try to make it without Him? I feel sorry for you if you do. Because probably you might even get by the skinny, what is the old saying, skinny? Well, maybe I better not try to say it. Barely get by, I'll put it that way. You might live like a pauper and yet have a brilliant mind. But it couldn't have been too brilliant. You know why? You left God out of the equation. And I'm sorry, you may be a pretty good old boy, but on your own, you don't amount to much. Because God's the captain. God blesses and God curses. I guarantee you, you won't be in line for any blessings, so what's left? Cursings. So, you know, it's kind of a hard old road, and I guess some people just never grow up or get wise. For never, ever leave God out of your equation. And I've absolutely heard certain would-be teachers say, don't ask in God's will. That shows lack of faith. No, that shows that the preacher is ignorant of God's word. Absolutely raw bone ignorant. Because a person that is sold out to the Lord doesn't want it if it isn't His will in the first place. They'd rather fail if it isn't God's will, because they only want to be pleasing to God. Because God then will see that they succeed in what He has planned for them. So, He's, come on now, you that say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. You know, you can't even predict the weather, much less what else is going to happen. For what is your life? Now think about that one for a minute. Don't just read over it. What is life? Well, there's really only one life, and Eve is the mother of all life, which is to say ever living, meaning eternal. There's only one way you can have eternal life. So what is your life? Think about it. I want you to think deeper is why I'm saying that. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth, poof, away. Right? That word vapor is a very interesting word in the Greek. You know what it says? What it means? It's a mist. But it's very akin to the word translated air in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where you're going to meet Him in the air. Or in the Greek 109 in your Strong's means your breath. Breath of life. Okay. So, hey, that's about how strong you are. It's just a poof, you're out of here. Well, who gives life? God. So why would you want to leave Him out of your equation? You know, that doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, I don't know. I'm a pretty tough old bird. I could probably get by on my own. But who wants to just get by?
And I guarantee you, you won't get by for long, because 70 years is like a mist. And it's gone. Verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If you got that, don't ever forget it, beloved. If the Lord wills. Because you shouldn't be doing anything that's not in the Lord's will. And don't worry, He'll let you know right away if it's not His will. Whatever you set out to do, you can tell real quick. Verse 16, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. When man rejoices in self, or that man has done, or traditions of men, if it's contrary to the word of God, if it is without God's will, it is evil. No ifs ands or maybes. 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. So beware putting things off. Beware doing things out of God's will. And how do I know if it's God's will? Well, ask in his will. Pray, always pray about it first and say, Father, if it be your will, let me be successful in this or that. If you're not, guess what? It wasn't his will. Don't be a quitter. You've heard me use the old expression. I tried three times. And on the third time, I figure where I made all of my mistakes, try to shore up those mistakes. And then I say, Lord, I'm putting this out as a fleece, which means I'm going to leave this totally in your hand and will. If it doesn't make it this time, I'm not a quitter. I proved that. But I'm going to look for another way to skin this cat, or if this doesn't work. I don't think I even like my analogy there, and I'm sure my sister-in-law is unhappy with me. She's a cat lover, and I love them too. But I love all of God's nature. But anyway, always seek God's will. Ask it. You're not going to know, but once you head out on your course and you plan well, then let him guide you. And if it flubs, don't be a quitter. Try it again. If it fails then, correct your mistakes. You're the one that made them. Be smarter. And on the third time, if it doesn't, well, you better find a different course, way to go at it. And say, I got the message, Lord. I know this is not your will. Humble yourself before who? Satan? Evil people? Sinners? You're supposed to set an example to sinners, and you can't do that necessarily. I said necessarily by humbling yourself to their will. You've got to make a difference. People, it is human nature that people admire a can-do type person. So, if you be one of these people who says, oh boy, I've had a bunch of bad days lately, well, quit it. Just quit it. Who wants to have bad days? Well, you don't understand, brother. Yes, I do. I'd much rather have a good day than a bad day. Smarten up and plan a little better and ask in God's will, for every day is a good day in the Lord. Okay? Every day. And you think in that terminology, that let that be your peripherals of vision and thought, and in God's will, and be a can-do type person, and you're going to be a lot happier. Now, I know that we all have tragedies and grief in our families. That's good. That's fine. That's well. That's life. But at the same time, you're a child of God, and he loves you. Understand his word, and it explains all things and how you should be happy. Okay, we're going to stop there. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your presence, that we humble ourselves before thee, God, seeking and willingly doing thy will and way when you clarify it, Father, in your word. Be with us in the simplicity that your Son taught, and we ask it in Jesus Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
Ezra and Nehemiah, these two books are necessary to understand the returning to the Father in that sense of the example set forth in the end times of the rebuilding of God's most favorite place on earth. Also, within these two books, you find the hidden secret, hidden from most people's eyes, that the study in the Hebrew and the Chaldee that is given in these particular books will teach you how that the priesthood itself became polluted during this period of time. This is to say about 400 years before Christ walked the earth to the time that he did walk, instructing you very wisely, setting the example of how it is that we gather back to Christ himself. Ezra and Nehemiah, fantastic. You'll enjoy them. The book of Deuteronomy. The law was given as our schoolmaster. Have you been to school on God's Word? Certainly one way to go there is to study the book of Deuteronomy. Probably the most exciting thing that Deuteronomy has to offer for you is that great song of Moses, that those that overcome the false Messiah in the end generation will be singing. The law itself being the schoolmaster that keeps us out of trouble in these flesh bodies. Again, an education in taming that part of you that oftentimes needs taming through the old schoolmaster, that great book, Deuteronomy, the law, and its set ways of keeping you from harm's way even in this generation. You're going to enjoy it.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The special Sunday service messages by Pastor Arnold Murray and Dennis Murray are now available. Pastor Murray.